Jonah either forgot or ignored this fact, that God's will, listen, loved ones, God's will is always an expression of God's love. Every time. God's will is always an expression of God's love. But in this case, Jonah didn't want God's love to go forth.
Well, tucked in the middle of the Old Testament is a four-chapter wonder of a book. Welcome to Live in the Light. Today, we continue on in our new series in Jonah, and we're calling it Jonah, God's Relentless Pursuit of You. And today, specifically, we turn to chapter 1 in verses 1 through 3 and examine the first few steps in Jonah's story. And frankly, those steps, as it were, look a lot like a sprint away from the direction of God's leading. God speaks clearly, but Jonah runs. Well, God's story through Jonah doesn't end there, as we're going to find out. In fact, it's just starting. Let's look together in God's Word today, and we pray that this same great God be speaking clearly to us all. Jonah 1, 1 through 3 is our text, and here now is Robbie with today's message.
At some point, he's like, hear God say arise, and then God said go. And he's like, okay, I like arise. I let go. That's all that I've been set apart to rise up and to go with God's message. But the part that Jonah would have shuddered at, the part that he obviously was not good with, was when God mentioned the word Nineveh. And at that moment, Jonah was not good with what God was asking him to do. Now, why is Nineveh such a big deal to Jonah? Well, first of all, it was the capital city of the enemy nation of Israel within Assyria. Nineveh was a very large and great city. It was full of cruel and harsh people. It was a dominating empire full of splendor and glamour. It was a city, again, of great wickedness and evil, it says in verse 2. Nineveh was located on the edge of what is now Mosul, Iraq, 40 miles east of Syria. And so Jonah's in Israel, and he's being called to go to Nineveh, okay? And Jonah kind of lived northern part of Israel, as we read from 2 Kings 14, which would be very close at times to the nation of Syria. He might be even more aware of the things he despised about this nation, maybe even than some other Israelites. But Nineveh was the place that Jonah was called to go to preach to. Again, the city of his enemy. And what we find out with Jonah here, and before we judge him too harshly, the key is to always, and we're gonna look at our own hearts here in a second, but before Jonah wanted Nineveh to repent, he would rather see them destroyed. He would, because of whatever situation he was in, because of his lack of grace of his own life too. But he didn't want them to ultimately be saved. He wanted them to be destroyed. This is where the personal patriotism of Jonah got in the way of his theology. Jonah either forgot or ignored this fact, that God's will, listen, loved ones, God's will is always an expression of God's love. Every time. God's will is always an expression of God's love. But in this case, Jonah didn't want God's love to go forth. He didn't. He wanted to hoard it within himself and his own people. So God's word comes. God's word for Jonah is crystal clear. So now what will God's servant do? Obey, right? Wrong. Number three, point three, God's servant flees. I must learn. Not learn to flee. In this case, I must learn what not to do. Look at verse 3 now. So the word of God comes, the word of God is clear. It says, But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare, went on board to go with him to Tarshish. It's like the Bible really wants us to know he's going to Tarshish, huh? Three times right there. It was away. The Bible also wants us to know twice, away from the presence of the Lord. Notice the very first word in verse 3. It's the word but. Now, that's never a good word following a command from God, all right? It's a very bad. God commands this, and the next word is but, and someone else does that, you know? Ever kind of tell your kids to do something and say, I need you this, and the first word is but. But I don't want it. No, that's never a good sign. And here is Jonah, and God says, arise and go to Nineveh. And he's like, but it says, but the Lord, or but Jonah. But Jonah rose to flee. Now, we don't know for sure where Tarshish was. We have a good idea, but notice this. The Lord commanded Jonah to arise and go northeast. But Jonah rose and fled southwest. All right? So God says, I need you to go northeast. And Jonah, essentially, he goes and flees southwest again. So where is Tarshish? Well, we suspect, and all the scholars agree on this, it was now modern-day Spain, okay? Modern-day Spain. Now think for a second, if you have any sense of Bible geography, any kind of sense of geography at all right? And you know Jonah's world and the world that he lived in, okay? Is there a place, God says go to Nineveh, is there a place in Jonah's known world that could be farther from the destination that God has asked him to go other than modern day Spain, Tarshish, through the Straits of Gibraltar? Is there any place? Because if he goes any further, he's with us in Canada. You know what I'm saying? All right? But this is where he is headed. So Jonah, Nineveh, Tarshish heading out this way. Okay, that gives us some context. You're going in the wrong direction, Jonah. What's up with that? How long would that take? In the 700 BC. How much would that cost? What's up with me? It tells you so much about where Jonah's heart is or isn't. But here's the real kicker in verse 3. Look at verse 3. Tarshish wasn't the real destination. What was the real destination? To flee from the presence of the Lord. Right now we say, but why? Why the all-out effort to run from the will of God? Was it because Jonah was afraid of the Ninevites? Was it because he was worried about being killed or imprisoned? They were harsh and brutal people. Maybe Jonah thought the mission was too hard. God, it's too impossible. It'll never work. It's just not going to happen. Were those the reasons that Jonah gave for not going? Well, here's the thing. Nowhere in the book of Jonah do we see any evidence that Jonah was afraid, worried about being killed, or thought the mission was too hard. What we do have in the book of Jonah is the real reason why Jonah would not go to Nineveh. Turn to chapter 4, turn one page over, chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Here's the reason Jonah would not go. So when God granted repentance to the Ninevites at the end of chapter 3, notice what it says in verse 4:1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was angry at what? At the love of God. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew, here's why. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. That is the reason Jonah fled. The one thing I appreciate about Jonah here is that at least he didn't lie. He got it all out in the open. He was so mad. Listen, he was so mad at what? At God's love. Jonah wasn't afraid that he would get killed. Jonah was afraid that the Ninevites would get saved. He didn't want them to get saved. He wanted them dead. And again, maybe he was so aware of the sin within that nation. Maybe he was personally aware of the hurt and the pain that they caused. But see what's happening here. This is a whole message in itself. But notice how Jonah resented the grace of God to others. Do you ever do that? Do I ever do that? He resented God's grace going from him elsewhere. Do we ever do that? Notice how self-righteous Jonah was. I want God's grace. I don't want you to have God's grace. That's pretty wicked. Notice here too. Notice Jonah was really acting like a New Testament Pharisee. Notice this also. Jonah forgot the reality of his own soul. Who is Jonah to claim the grace of God for himself when he was just as wicked as anyone else, but to withhold it from other people? It's a sign that Jonah did not understand the grace of God at all. It's a sign he did not understand God's love. It's a sign he had a ton of self within him. but not a lot of love from within him. You know, I find it fascinating as we preach this in this year and this time in our world. I find it fascinating. The exact location of Nineveh is currently the exact region of ISIS. Let me ask you this question. Like Nineveh, just outside Mosul, just where ISIS is concentrated right now. How are you praying for ISIS? Are you praying God kill them? Are you praying God save them? It's just a very interesting question for us. Just we happen to be here in this text right now, and this is where the examination of Jonah's heart becomes the examination of our own. And what I want to do right now, I just want to stop here just long enough to see, do I understand grace? Or do I have symptoms of Jonah within my heart? Here are three indicators I don't get grace. Three indicators that I don't get grace in my life. Number one is this. The first indication I don't get grace is when my concern in worship is driven by consumer preferences rather than God's glory. Okay, so Jonah, he was consumed with his own self-preference in his worship. He didn't want that to go from him elsewhere. That's self-indulgence. Really, loved ones, that's self-worship. If my concern is for what I want in the center of worshiping God, I'm not worshiping God, I'm worshiping me. Just think, if I'm more concerned of my preferences, that means I don't get grace. I want what I want, I don't want what you want or what's best for you in the love of God, therefore there's no grace in my life. That's a self-focused form of legalism and self-righteousness. Here's a second indicator, I don't get grace. I see the wicked of this world as a threat to my lifestyle instead of seeing the people out there without Christ as hell-bound sinners who are perishing without the gospel. You see that? So I don't get grace when the evil in our day is coming and it's endangering the welfare of my family more than I'm concerned about praying for the salvation of their souls. I'm more concerned you're making my life harder. You're making the school that my kids to go to more threatened. You're making my neighborhood more whatever than I am about the reality they will pass on from this life into eternity apart from God without the gospel. So if I lack grace, I make it about me. I don't make it about other people, especially in terms of the love of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The evil in our day, really, I'm concerned about protecting myself as opposed to really having a burden for the lost to be saved. That's when the Christian bubbles form and it's us against the world and we just attack and we're just so threatened by that. That's not grace. Here's the third one. Here's an indication I don't get grace. When I pray for the forgiveness of my sins, but I pray for the justice of God against everyone else. So God, forgive me, but get them. That's an indication we severely lack grace. God, forgive my sins, but attack them. They're the ones who deserve your punishment and wrath. Flash down lightning from heaven, God, just like James and John walking through Samaria. Forgive my sins, but judge them. What is that? That's a complete lack of understanding of the grace that has saved you in the first place. It wasn't that long ago, you were those people you're actually asking God to throw lightning down upon. We were those people. And this was Jonah. He didn't get grace. So the word of God comes, the will of God is so clear, Jonah begins to flee from the presence of God. And let's be sure of this. When you and I flee from God's presence, that will never, ever go well. It just won't. Let's learn here. Let's unpack Jonah's attempt to flee God. We're going to see four things on the screen here. When Jonah ran, notice there's the first this two. First here, Jonah ran from conviction. Notice this. He ran from conviction. So twice in verse 3, it says, Jonah was trying to flee from the presence of the Lord. That's very significant. Now, let's be sure. Jonah was not running from God's actual presence. Jonah was running from his perceived felt presence of God. Jonah was a prophet of God. Surely he would have known that God is omnipresent. You can't run from the presence of God. He would be fully aware of what David said in Psalm 139, where David says, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence, O God? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are also there." Jonah would know you can't actually run from the presence of God. So what's he trying to do? He's trying to appease his own conscience by removing himself from obvious God-given conviction. Jonah is thinking in his improper, grace-lacking state of mind, if I get myself out from Israel, where God's voice is heard the loudest, I will remove myself from the conviction that is plaguing my soul as I seek to be disobedient as to what God wants me to do. It's the same reason why people under great conviction in our day, when they're under conviction of God's will in their lives, it's the same reason they slowly start to distance themselves from God's voice. How? They stop attending church. I've seen this so many times. They're living a lifestyle which they know God does not condone. They know flat out it's against his will. And so instead of dealing with the truth and the conviction of that, it's way easier to run. So they slowly disengage from small group. They slowly disengage from prayer meetings. They slowly disengage from church attention. They slowly disengage from people who love the Lord, who will love them with grace and truth. And they slowly find themselves in circles of people, listen, who will agree with them, support their sin, and ultimately reject their God. Why? Because they're running from conviction and they don't want the conviction. So they put themselves in places as far away from God as possible, in places like Tarshish, where they have this idea that they can get out from under God's conviction and then have more peace in their lives as they pursue their sin and apart from God. When people run from God, they run from conviction. Conviction of God's word, conviction of God's church and leadership. Conviction of God's people, ultimately. Now, you might be here today and you are running from God. I think what you're starting to find out is, listen, you can run, but you can't hide. You can run, but you cannot hide. Why? Here's why, because God loves you too much. You will run, but God will track you down. That's my story. Is that your story? My story was I was sitting in all places in a university campus bar where God met me in that place in the midst of blaring music, and he spoke into my heart and mind. And he was like, Robbie, what are you doing here? 2 days later, less than 48 hours later, dramatically saved in Jesus Christ, never the same again, called to the gospel, life totally. He met me in a bar. He tracked me down in a bar and filled me with a dissatisfaction of the world. And at that moment, called me to himself, running from God. God says, you can run, but you can't hide. It's my story. Is that your story? Think about it. It's awesome. God tracks you down. You try to run from the conviction, but at the end of the day, God will track you down. You know, it's so neat. Just even last weekend at a wedding, a couple in our church got married, and we're at this reception hall, and a lot of people from our church were there. And someone who worked at this reception hall, she was there, and wouldn't you know it, that she had just kind of talking to some of our people and found out that we're a bunch of people from Harvest, and her face almost contorted. At one point, she'd attended here, but she had moved away. She had run away in following her sin. And there she was, and just working. And all of a sudden, she's confronted with a whole bunch of people who go to this church, and the Lord used it instantly. Long story short, she was in the place where she recognized all that she was doing. She saw this as the hand of God, and she's working there, tears in her eyes, saying, I have to come back to God. That's awesome. What is that? That's, you can run, but you cannot hide. And if he's got your number, again, it's over. So today, you can decide you want to keep running, fulfilling your desires and your sin, but at some point in some way, you will be broken down in the misery of your soul, and you will turn your knee and your voice to praise God and say, he alone is my satisfaction. But Jonah, he ran from conviction. We'll see how far he got. Notice this too, he also ran from his calling. He ran from his calling. Now, Jonah had a crystal clear calling. It was arise, go to Nineveh, and preach to them of my love and preach against their evil. Now, some of us will say, well, he ran from his calling, but he knew exactly what God's calling was. If I knew exactly what my calling was from God, then I wouldn't run from that. Let me challenge you on that in a few small examples. Do you know your calling from God? Husbands, 100% you know that God's will is for you to love your wife. 100%. 100% God's will for you to love your wife. Are you running from your calling? Are you embracing your calling? Wives, 100% God's calling upon your life is to respect your husband. 100% God's will. Are you embracing that calling? by the grace of God. Parents, 100% God's will is for you to be there for your children. Not to busy yourself so much that you're never there for them. 100% God's will to love them, care for them, lead them. Nurture them in the faith of Jesus Christ. That's God's calling for your life. Are we doing it? Young people, all people, 100% God's will for your life is to stay pure before marriage, to stay pure before Christ. 100% God's will, calling upon your life. Are you doing it? All of us, 100% God's will, that we don't store up treasures on earth, but store up treasures in heaven. 100% God's will, crystal clear, for sure. How's it going? Now, all these things, when I say these commands from Scripture, that's what they are. It's not built in legalism, I try harder to do this. It's built in by the grace of God. I love God so much. I want to pursue God as he has pursued me. But the point is, I'm trying to make, Jonah ran from his calling. So many times we do the same. Why? Because we want to follow our sin. We don't want to follow in the grace of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. He ran from his calling. We cannot run from ours. Now remember, okay, I want this to be a wonderful grace moment. I'm not afraid of telling you commands of truth, but I want you to see God pursues you to love you, to use you. So if we have run from our calling as a husband, even now God pursues you and says, come on back, man. And he hugs you and embraces you and say, okay, come on, here's my grace, here's my strength, here's my love, here's my forgiveness, here's my joy. Now go love your wife. Go love your wife. I won't let you go. I won't let you go, okay? Maybe too many hours at work, maybe too much money being spent on your stuff, maybe too much sin of lust, what's happening there. All that stuff got to go, Jesus says. Come on now. I died for all those things. You're forgiven. You're clean. You're pure now. Come on now in the gospel. Come by my grace, be strengthened and pursue your calling for life. See, it's grace and truth. And that's what God uses. But Jonah ran from his calling. Notice this thirdly too. He ran at a great cost. If I run from God's presence, be guaranteed I will run with a great cost. Look at the second half of verse 3. It says, he went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare, went on board to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. Now, first of all, notice where Jonah went in verse 3. He went to Joppa. The Bible says he went down to Joppa. When we run from God, okay, we are always going down, always down, down, down. Interestingly, Jonah went down to Joppa. It also says he went down into the ship. I'm not trying to over-spiritualize this, but I saw enough commentaries bring this up, which is a really, really good point. Here is good. When we flee from God, we are not making our lives better. We are making our lives worse. It is always going downhill. You flee from God, loved ones, listen, we're going down, all right? We're going down in a hurry. We think we're going up, but we're not. We're going down. Jonah thought he was making progress, but in reality, he was regressing. Can you look at periods of your life where that was the case, where you say, I've convinced myself I'm advancing in life as I run away from God, but in reality, if you stop long enough, you know, without God, I'm tanking. That's always the way. It will be always the way. No exceptions. When we run from God, we are running from peace, from joy, from life, from blessing itself. Every time. You're here today? When you run from God and his will for your life, my life, we are running from joy, from peace, from blessing, from him, from protection. Notice in verse 3, it says, so he paid the fare and went on board. Now notice here as well, everything seemingly was going great, right? For Jonah, imagine he arrived in Joppa, he's fleeing from the presence of the Lord, and there happens to be a ship there going to Tarshish of all places. He's like, great, I got the money, I can pick it up, I can pay right now. I mean, he must say, man, if God didn't want me to go, the ship would not be there. I wouldn't have the money to pay for. This is all going great. He gets on board, he falls asleep. I mean, he's at peace. He's in the will of God, right? Wrong. Let us be very, very careful when we try to justify our path by our own interpretation of circumstances. Loved ones, William Banks said this, when a person decides to run from the Lord, Satan always provides complete transportation facilities. whenever a person is trying to run from God, Satan will do his utmost to get the ship there, to get the money in your pocket, to pay the fare, that you might flee from where God has you to be. Be also very careful of this, loved ones, when you try to claim God's sovereignty by your own interpretation of events. Be very, I see it all the time. People rationalizing financial decisions just to create in their own mind and appease their own guilt. Oh, God's in this. Trying to rationalize decisions of relationships that are contrary to God's word to say, he'll understand. No, no, we can live together before we're married. We can have sex before we're married. We can do this before whatever. Whatever it is, you attempt to claim God's sovereignty by your own understanding of what you think is God's will. Don't do that. Jonah did that. There's the boat. There's my fare. Fell asleep. All good, man. It's all good. God must be in this. He can't be that upset with me. But of course, he was exactly against God's will in the moment that he might have thought he was doing the right thing. Notice too within Jonah, impulsive, quick decisions, no signs of prayer anywhere. See that? Imagine Jonah. He's like living, and all of a sudden he picks up and he goes. And he just leaves. Jonah, where are you going? Oh, I'm going on a job. What are you doing there? I'm going to go to Tarshish. You're going, what are you doing? Living here, going to, why are you doing that? And just like, wow. And just all of a sudden, uprooted, gone. You know, people in your lives like that, they're just going to live this life, and all of a sudden, hey, where did Joe go? Hey, where did Sue go? There's like, uprooted, impulsive, quick, just totally irrational decisions, no prayer, no asking God, fleeing from the Lord. Gets on board, falls asleep, seemingly all good, all bad. Notice this, he paid the fare. Our understanding here is running from God always comes at a cost. It always comes at a cost. Here's what Donald Gray Barnhouse said about this. This is great. He says, when you run away from the Lord, you never get to where you're going, and you always pay your own fare. But when you go to the Lord's way, you always get to where you're going, and he always pays the fare. Think about that. Think about that. You run from God, you never get there ultimately, and you always pay. You go God's way, you get there, he pays. That's the grace of God. That's the way it works. So Jonah ran from conviction. He ran here, we understand, with a great cost. He ran in vain. It's the last one. He ran right there in vain. So notice how verse 3 ends. It says, away from the presence of the Lord. Away from the presence of the Lord. I just want you to see this. Whenever we run from God, we think we're going to win. We will never win. We will always lose. Because we run from God, we're running towards sin. And running towards sin, we run towards that which confuses us, entangles us, wrecks us, destroys us, depresses us. Hence, any running from God is running in vain. And Jonah's about to find that out in a hurry. Notice again, verse 3 starts with, but Jonah. And look at verse 4. It starts with, but the Lord. Okay? Jonah has had his turn, and now God's about to have his turn. God will not sit still. Why? Because God loves Jonah too much to let him go. I love that. But Jonah, then verse 4, but the Lord. Loved ones, God loves you too much to let you and I go as well.
Hey, if you're looking for more Bible teaching, we have many of Pastor Robbie's previous Live in the Light messages available for you to listen to at any time on our website, liveinthelight.ca. We also have our daily program in podcast form so you can listen easily on the go or hanging out at home. If you have any questions about who we are or want to share a story about what God is doing in your life, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT or use the contact page on our website. Catch you next time here at Live in the Light.